I love these guys.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions. This is a podcast that my friend John Drennan and I, longtime friend, have enjoyed doing, and hopefully you're enjoying listening to it. If you'd like to check out our website, it's the SHLpodcast.com. Leave us a message, give us a rating, and tell your friends about us. Well, John, we had another victory on Sunday, albeit against a team that is weakened by injury. Joe Burrow is out, and the replacement quarterback left something to be desired, and it gave us three interceptions. So one thing that I noticed, though, was that the offense for the last two games has played, I would say, below expectation. They've sputtered a little bit. They gave up four sacks this last Sunday. But what's pretty incredible to me is, even though they've played below expectation, in my estimation, they've won by 24 and 13 points. Usually when you play below your ability, you don't win, or you win very, very close. But they're, even though they haven't really set it on fire like they did against Baltimore and Chicago, they still are winning easily, covering the spread for those that care about that. And the defense this time was the star. Three picks, a safety, no first drive touchdown. They kind of loosened up late, but I thought the D played very well.
Yeah, without question. And Bill, before I comment on that, this is episode 11. So I'm loving doing this with you, and loving we're 4-1. I do want to clean up one thing from last week where I said the Lions played the Bills this year. They're not on the regular schedule, but I realize I said that because I believe they're going to play in the Super Bowl. But anyhow, you're right about the defense. You know, their defense is loaded. They have one of the top edge rushers, if not the top. I mean, statistically, last year, obviously, he was the top until he got hurt. This year, he's right at the top. He impacts the game. That's Hutchinson. They have the best tandem safety in the league. I think everyone agrees with that. And I think this last game, Bill, they showed they probably have the toughest three linebackers overall in the league, or among the toughest. I mean, this is a loaded defense. We're getting a little beat up at cornerback. But you mentioned those statistics. You know, in addition to the three picks, they created two forced fumbles. But Cincinnati was able to get both those fumbles. They also had two safeties, but one was negated due to a penalty that had nothing to do with the play. So the safety happened. So that's pretty extraordinary. And I think the back to the linebackers, their tackling was so tough and sure throughout that game. Now, there was kind of two games there, Bill. It was the first three quarters that the Lions absolutely dominated. Then there was the last quarter that was, you know, not so good. But kudos to the Bengals in that Burrow didn't completely disappear at the end of the game. And their two wide receivers.
I mean Browning,
yes, thank you. Their two wide receivers certainly showed, you know, what they're capable of. And in fact, the one throw to chase the touchdown, Browning actually did a great job escaping the pocket, not getting sacked, and throwing a perfect ball to Chase, who made a great catch as he was going out of bounds, but had his feet in. So anyhow, it's great to be 4-1 there, buddy.
It is. Really, the only thing that I would say, criticism that I would have of the defense is they committed a couple of unnecessary penalties. They cost Hutchinson two sacks, one sack and one sack safety.
Right.
With penalties. And Terry and Arnold was guilty on the one. I don't know who was on the other, but it could have been. Right now, Hutchinson is tied for third in the league with sacks at five. So if that would have been two more, and he would be tied for first.
You know, you said you don't know who caused the penalty. It was Hutch. He lined up.
Oh, that's right. That's
He
right. Lined
lined
up
up
offside.
offsides. Now, did that give him the advantage to get the sack? Probably not. It was inches, but it's one thing. Knowing Hutch, he'll never do that again in his career.
Well, he was like 6 inches offsides.
Yeah.
I don't think that affected his ability to get to the quarterback. But one good thing was that we didn't give up a first drive touchdown for the first time this year. That's another amazing thing. The first four games of the season, the Lions give up the first drive touchdown, and they're 3-1 after those four games. So they don't let it affect them, obviously. And for the Bears, that was the only touchdown they got.
Yeah, and it looked like that might be the case for the Bengals through three quarters. So, I mean, we were up 28-3, but you're right, that it was good they got that cleaned up. And also, Bill, the Lions, as they frequently do, turn their first drive into a touchdown, and it was kind of like a hot knife through butter, that first touchdown.
They were going
And
to do it again until the fumble.
right. You know, the fumble you're talking about on the second drive, they had moved the ball about 45 yards, had a lot of momentum. And after that, they punted one or two times in a row. I think one after that, but it did kind of shift the momentum. And of course, we've talked about that fumble was a result of one of the best edge rushers, Hendrickson, in the league against the rookie, well, not rookie, but first game ever, Giannabi Manu. I don't know if I said his name right, but and so he struggled. He had a low PFF grade, but it was good for him to go in and play a whole game because I think at one point, Bill, we're going to have a really strong left tackle in Manu. Still might be 2 years away.
Well, I want to agree with you, but as we said in our very first podcast, you're the optimist and I'm the realist, and I'm reading stuff that says that he might be done after one game. But I
That's a bit of
understand
a
that.
gap done in one game versus me thinking we might have a Pro Bowler in 2 years.
Right. Well, you always think that. You've and you're right quite often. But we disagreed on Terry and Arnold, and so far I think that is weighing in my favor on the realism with him. But I understand Skipper is back, so maybe that'll shore up the offensive line a little bit.
Yeah, I understand he's had an ankle injury, but is back where he could play this week and be that left tackle. And then they also brought in the guy a few weeks ago from, I forget what team, but an experienced left tackle. So, or they may stay with Manu. You know, he did give up two sacks, Bill, and the one was the one we just talked about where it created a fumble. The other sack was actually a play he didn't give up. If you watch the play, he was cutting inside to block. Brock Wright came over to handle Hendrickson, and that just wasn't a matchup. He couldn't handle him. And Goff got sacked on that.
Now that being said, as you said, his PFF grade was very low.
Correct.
So he didn't play well
He
overall
seems to
throughout the
do
game.
pretty well in run blocking, not so much in pass blocking, so. But hey,
I was getting concerned about Montgomery because, he did nothing against against Cleveland. I think he had 9 yards on 5 or 6 carries, something like that. And he was off to that kind of game against the Bengals. And we got down to the goal line and they ran him there. And I was thinking, why did we take Gibbs out? Gibbs is just slicing and dicing. But they had that play conjured up to hand it off to him and have him throw the touchdown pass, which I really enjoyed. And I know his sister enjoyed that as well. And that may be the very reason they put it in, was to give him a little more shine. Because those who don't know, David Montgomery's sister a few years ago was injured in an accident and is paralyzed from the waist down. And Sunday was the, they're from Cincinnati. So Sunday was the first game that she got to see David Montgomery play since her injury. And kudos to the Bengals for everything they did to bring that about, to give her access to the field, to allow her VIP really treatment during that game. So that was wonderful to see on their part.
Yeah, that was great. And back to that play, it was actually, he was in the Wildcat. For the people who don't understand that, he was set up as the quarterback in the shotgun. Goff was actually spread to the left as a receiver. And
Right.
generally, a play like that's designed for the shotgun person, in this case, Montgomery, to run the ball. So he got it, took a step like he was running, stopped, and threw it to Brock Wright. He was a high school quarterback, so he, throwing the ball wasn't
Right.
new to him. So, and Bill, after the game, there was a clip I heard where he was mic'd up and he's saying to Gibbs, "You know, I'm 2 for 2 as a passer. I should be playing quarterback." And they had a fun little exchange on that. But then the run touchdown he got. Kudos to Campbell and the Lions. They wanted to get him a running touchdown, and kudos to him because that was not an easy run. It was about a 20-yard run for the touchdown later in the game. So.
Then they Montgomery and Gibbs tied, now I'm forgetting his name, the guy that was on the color commentary,
Daryl Johnson, former cowboy.
Darryl Johnson, right, tied Darryl Johnson and Emmitt Smith for scoring each scoring a touchdown in the same game. So that's happened 14 times with Gibbs and Montgomery, and it happened over the course of the two Cowboys, Smith and Johnson, 14 times over their entire career.
Yeah, I think
So
that was 11 years, Bill.
this is only the third year those two are together, and they were already tied. So they'll obviously, barring catastrophe, they will break that record easily.
That could become a record. That's one of those that seems untouchable if they stay together another 3, 4, 5 years. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we expected them to beat Cincinnati. We expected them to beat them handily. They did. I think the line was 10.5 points. They covered that. When I was look, and I don't bet on these games, but I do notice the line and the over under, and the over under for the Cleveland game was 44.5, and they it was total of 44, 34 Lions, 10 Browns. The over-under for this game, excuse me, I think was 43 or 44, something like that. And it looked again like it was going to be the under until the last quarter. Then it went way over. But the Lions not playing as well as we know they can on offense, are still covering the spread, which isn't easy to do in the NFL. 10.5 points is a big spread. Anything over 7 is big in the NFL, because
Yeah.
if you look through those games, a lot of them are very close. So I think the Lions, they can improve the offense this weekend against Kansas City. It's another primetime game, Sunday night, I think. And Lions seem to do very, very well in primetime. So hopefully they will take care of business and go 5-1. I wouldn't be shocked for them to lose this game, because Kansas City is, well, they're home. They're three-time Super Bowl champion. They have Patrick Mahomes. They seem to get a lot of calls from the officials. And although one of the broadcasters on Sunday, I think it was Aikman, or Monday, I'm sorry, he pointed out that, was it Aikman or who does Monday night?
Yeah,
Collins.
Aikman and Buck. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
Okay. Well, Aikman pointed out that, are you sure? I thought it was Collinsworth, or they do Sunday night.
We'll have to get back to you, folks.
I watched so many games, I don't remember who's. Anyway, one of them pointed out that when Trevor Lawrence fell down,
Right.
those plays happened over and over again last year in one score games that Kansas City won. And, they get a blocked field goal. They'd have a one time the snap was bad on a field goal, and they would make some ridiculous play either on offense or defense, or the other team would foul something up terribly, and it would come down to the end. They would win by 2 or 3 points. This year, those things seem to be going the other way. They have a tendency to even out, and boy, that game was one of them on Monday night when Trevor Lawrence fell down, and I thought, oh, geez, this is over. But he got up, fell down again, got up, and ran for a touchdown.
That was unreal. By the way, I looked it up. It was Aikman and Joe Buck doing the Monday night game. And I do
Okay.
remember that comment thinking that is spot on, because last year it just seemed like all the gods were with the Chiefs. I mean, it was unreal the breaks they got. And so you're right, that was kind of a flip script. And to me, obviously they're 2-3 and they're not the invincible Chiefs. And Bill, the Lions went in there a couple of years ago to kick off the season and won the first game of the year against the Chiefs. And I know the asterisk, Chris Jones wasn't playing and Kelsey wasn't playing, but still, the Lions had their issues too. But hey, before we get into the Chiefs, just a couple more things here that I found interesting. I don't know if you saw that Jared Goff had played 70 games for the Rams, and Sunday was his 71st game for the Lions. So he now is more of a Lion than he was a Ram. And hopefully, he'll be playing another 71 games for the Lions going forward. Also, have the PFF ratings here. Again, for people who don't know what that is, it stands for Professional Football Focus. Every single game, every single player is rated on every single play. The highest possible rating's 100. I think anything over 50 is considered okay. Over 60's pretty good. So for Lions, Bill, defensively, Jack Campbell, a rating of 92.8, and that guy's turning into an absolute beast. And it's a middle linebacker. Hutchinson is typically right around 90. He came in at 91.6, another great grade. Number three was Muhammad, the other edge at 75.5. Then Alex Anzalone at 74.3. He had a great game. But then a name we haven't heard much, a guy that was brought in this year, veteran Roy Lopez, 74. He plays inside defense. And what I love about him, he was a big time wrestler. You know, wrestlers have incredible balance and just agility that play on the inside like that.
So
So, doing well.
he's a defensive tackle, is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. He plays across the center frequently, just as a nose tackle. The lowest grades, the lowest was Tyler Lacey, who they brought in earlier in the year to help at edge, but his grade was set 57.6, so that's not horrible. Terrion Arnold, 58.2. According to us watching, it's like, Arnold, stop the darn penalties. And I get it, but according to Dan Campbell, Arnold maybe had his best game. Now, there were those handsy plays that I'm sure lowered his rating, and of course now he's out for a while. Derek Barnes, third worst at 60.5. Again, that's not that bad. And he, I thought, had a really great game. Reader, 62.1, and Brian Branch just under 67 or 68. So that
I
was
think that
nuts.
I think it's telling though that Terrion Arnold's best game is still only a 58.
Yeah.
I mean, that's barely above what you would consider acceptable.
And we've talked a lot about him. I know you're ready to maybe see him go and get somebody else. I'm ready to see him get better. I just think he's got a ceiling that we have no idea of yet.
Well, we haven't done great picking cornerbacks. I forget the guy's name out of Ohio State that we picked. He was supposed
Okuda,
to be
Jeff
all
Okuda.
Okuda was supposed to be all world, and I'm not sure he could cover me. So there's
When
such a
they
big jump at cornerback from college to the NFL. I mean, every week in the NFL, you are seeing somebody who would have been All-American at either quarterback or wide receiver when they were in college. And the speed of the game is much faster. The sophistication of the offenses. I mean, you think about it, these offenses are coached all week long. I mean, nobody's going to class. You don't have anything other than football to concern you. And so they're very sophisticated with their offenses, and some guys just can't make the transition. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean they're not smart. It just they just can't process fast enough. We've talked about that with quarterback, that quarterbacks that are all Americans in college, when it comes to the pros, the defenses are just as sophisticated, and you can't make the transition. A lot of guys can't.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's hard to know. Okuda coming out of college looked like he was a sure bet, but so did Terrion Arnold. But time will tell yet for him. Hey, a couple more things here. I wanted to share Ja'Marr Chase, all-world receiver. I mean, he's incredible. He had three tackles in the first three quarters of the game. Now, how is that possible? Well, Lions had three interceptions, and get this, all three of those interceptions occurred in the Bengals territory. And Ja'Marr Chase happened to be the one to tackle all three of those interceptors. So that's a remarkable stat. Secondly, I want to point out, Bill, I've been very high on Isaac Tesla since the preseason.
You got a touchdown.
He not only got his touchdown, but made his first catch where he didn't use one hand. He used both. But if you watch the route, it's a good route. It's the ball wasn't perfect, but it was good. But he's a big, rangy receiver and caught the ball with both hands, preventing the defender from breaking that up. And it was a strong catch, and kudos to him. But he also had two great plays on special teams. So that guy continues to be a great draft pick. I also want to point out Trey Flowers, spelled T-R-E, I think, versus T-R-E-Y. Or no, he's T-R-E-Y, I believe. They had another Trey Flowers that came from New England, but this is a different Trey Flowers. They got this season as a cornerback from Seattle to fill in after DJ Reader got hurt. And he played. Now, the point I want to make, he was new to the locker room last week and played in the game. The good news about that, he's got a little bit of experience now as a Lion, because with the Chiefs coming up, we need all the cornerback help we can get. So that was cool. My last comment, Lions were five out of five in the red zone scoring points. In fact, I think it was four TDs and a punt, but five for five in the red zone.
Yes, 4 TDs and a field goal.
Yeah, I said punt. So
They better
those are
not
some
punt in the red
other.
zone.
Right. And then I think you had some stats on Jared Goff. We were talking about that, how he rates right now compared to the other QBs and other teams. You got those handy?
Well, I don't have all of them, but I know percentage. Completion, he's number one. Touchdowns, he's number one, I believe. And
Points
points, the
scored.
Lions lead the league in points. So that's and yet he doesn't seem to get the credit that these other guys get. I mean, they're talking about Daniel Jones as a possible MVP out of Indianapolis. And Baker Mayfield, and those guys are playing well, but they're not playing as well as Goff.
Yeah, and no, I agree. I mean, statistically, he and the Lions are doing great. So, well, let me
One other thing I wanted to, if we're ready to talk about Kansas City.
just real quick. I gave the defensive PFF grades. Offensively, this is great to see Christian Mahogany at the highest at 85.9. And then it was St. Brown, Sewell, Laporta, and Gibbs, all great. But the lowest grades, Manu, who we talked about, was the lowest, but it wasn't tragic. He was 42.2. And then Tate Ratledge was the fifth lowest at 62.4. So again, not that bad. So anyhow, yeah, let's get into the Chiefs. What's gonna happen on Sunday night?
Well, I'm concerned because Mahomes is all world. He's a magician. He can beat you so many different ways, and they have good receivers, and they have a coach that knows how to game plan. So, one thing I was wondering is, do you think the Lions would benefit against Kansas City from playing some zone defense instead of man to man? Because it was, I think, one of the games this weekend. I can't remember which one it was now. It might have been Jacksonville. When they played zone defense, their eyes are on the quarterback. When you
Right.
play man to man, you turn and you run with your receiver, and that opens up all kinds of room for Mahomes or any other fast quarterback to run unimpeded. So I've just noticed the Lions, I don't know if it's a philosophy or what it is, but they just seem very hesitant to play zone.
So I think that's a great question, Bill. And my answer is I think they need to mix it up. I know it's a Dan Campbell, we are going to play man position. Kind of like in basketball, you have certain coaches, they're just completely dedicated to that. Like he's dedicated to we're going to run the ball. But I do think they need to mix it up for the reason you just said, and maybe to keep the Chiefs a little bit more on their toes. Also, if you don't contain a scrambling quarterback, you better be in zone. The Lions did do a good job of containing Lamar Jackson, meaning not letting him run wild outside of the pressure, and Mahomes is great at that, so they've absolutely got to contain him if they're going to play man.
It's hard to do because once you start, he gets a crease and he's gone.
Yeah. And it's not for 8 yards, it's for 28 yards. So,
Right. And he still and he doesn't get hit.
right.
So, injuries. Do we have any significant injuries other than the cornerbacks?
Well, there is a chance, and we're recording this on Wednesday before the Sunday night game. Apparently, there's a chance that Decker comes back at left tackle, but it sounds like it's not likely. Of course, we lost Raymond for several weeks. That hurts our punt returner and third wide receiver, but the rookie looked good as a punt returner, and I'm forgetting his name right now. And Tesla can fill in certainly as the third receivers, but we'll miss Khalif Raymond.
Arnold is out for seems like a few weeks.
Yeah, he's out. So, the issues to me seem to be Chris Jones. They're all world interior defensive linemen, keeping him out of the backfield, and then containing Mahomes, which we talked about, and then can our defensive backs hold up? Especially they've got the speedy wide receiver Worthy, but the Lions have proven to be really great at game planning and adjusting to things. So, all that said, Bill, before we started this, I wrote down my score for this game as Lions winning 31-27.
And you asked me before you told me that what my prediction was, and I said 31-27. So,
So there we go. The optimists and the realists come together.
I will not be disappointed if it's a 1-point win.
I initially thought Lions 30-27 with an overtime field goal. But then I thought,
Yikes.
no, I don't see that happening. So, so there we go, listeners. Bill and I picked the same outcome. We'll see what happens. Any other comments you got on the Bengals or this game coming up?
Well, I this would be a very big win. After this, have Tampa, they're a good team, and then the bye week. Going into the bye week, 5-2 or 6-1 would be terrific. But there's the potential to go in 4-3. Hopefully that won't happen. I think what you pointed out. After the game on Sunday, or it might have yeah Sunday, you sent me a link showing that the Lions were number one in power ranking in the NFL. Those things really only mean something to the fans.
Right.
It's not like college. It's not going to affect who gets to be in the playoffs or not, but It is nice to the Lions to get that recognition for what people don't understand is for years and years and years, decades, we suffered watching the Lions play football. We suffered watching them play badly. We suffered watching them lose because of horrible officiating. So we saw them lose in a Matt Patricia game against Kansas City. This is the same old Lions, I guess. They were ahead. I don't remember by how much. It was at least 7, might have been 10. They were about to go in and score. They were on about the 2-yard line. They ran the ball. They fumbled. Kansas City picked it up, ran it back for touchdown. Sort of like what happened to them against Jacksonville on Monday night. So the fact that the Lions are 4-1, coming off of 15-2 and 12-5, this is just rare air for two secondhand Lions fans, and we hope you're enjoying the ride with us. Hopefully, it will end up this year in the Super Bowl, but we're pretty confident it's going to this year or next year or very, very soon.
Well, Bill, a lot of great comments there. And what I love about the NFL, we're 5 weeks in and no team's undefeated. It's just tough to win games. I think look at the AFC, the Bills are the clear favorite. I think when you look at the NFC, Lions, Eagles are clear favorite, but they get to play each other later. And as I look at this team, barring lots of crazy injuries like l last year, I just can't see not putting the Lions ahead to win any game on their schedule. So, folks, stay
Yeah,
on this journey.
we talked about it during the week. Who would you have the Lions not favored according to Vegas? Who would be favored over the Lions the remainder of the schedule? And I thought it would be the Eagles and the Rams. You said the Eagles and the Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 2.5. Which usually the home field advantage gives you 3 points. So in some ways they're predicting well, the Lions are doing better than the normal. So I thought the Rams could be 5-0. They got a field goal blocked against Philadelphia. The field goal would have won the game. And then their coach inexplicably went for it on 4th and 1 in overtime after all they needed was a field goal to tie. And they called a running play with Matt Stafford in the backfield as quarterback. If I was risking the game on one play, I would have put it in his hands. But so they're 3-2. They could be 5-0. They're a good team.
All right, well, this will be a big one. I'm excited for it. So, want to encourage again everyone go to our website, theshlpodcast.com. And if you like what we're doing, keep coming and tell others about us. Bill, I'm looking forward to Sunday night.
Yeah, me too. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Thanks, everyone.